it's been here since
probably just after the war. My dad bought a section here as a badge.
Okay.
Well, bought two sections, yeah.
Yeah.
As a badge, and they've stayed in the family. So they started coming down here, and I started coming down as a kid before the cause, when the ferry was still operating. And we had a couple of old army huts on one of the sections, and we used to come down regularly, treat it as a holiday destination. There were no mangroves, of course, there was no causeway. There were nice shelly big, huge banks of shells down the far end of the island. Everything sort of focused on the wharf. There was a store on the island, but I actually don't remember whether it was down the far end, but there was one across the road from where we live now for many, many, many years.
Peter, Margaret was just telling me about the causeway and setting up a passport system, and that you were involved with that.
That was a protest. I can't remember what year that was. Early 1990, something like that. But they decided that Tuturangi and Herald Island would be the most heavily rated suburbs in the city, and it was based on unimproved land value, and I guess because there's waterfront properties here. We were rated pretty heavily on the island, yet we had open drains and metal roads. Really got no extra city services or anything like that. And our rates just kept going up as land values were rising. And to try and, as a means of trying to make the council sit up and listen or get some action, we decided to mount a protest, and we went independent for the day. And so we had a century at the end of the causeway. We issued passports, we collected some money, and just basically drew attention to the fact that we felt that our rates were completely out of kilter with the rest of the city, and if anything, we received far less services. It was quite a fun day. Most people enjoyed it and thought it was a lot of fun. There were a couple who were a bit grumpy about getting held up at the causeway because we had a barrier arm and one thing and another, but it did serve its purpose. I think it was on the television news. And, it just sort of helped in our lobbying of councillors and council staff and whatever to try and get some action. And it became an ongoing battle, if you like, for many, many, many years. We kicked up a bit of a storm, and over several years we did various things and held public meetings, and the end result was two things happened. One, we negotiated an agreement with the council because they had threatened to take us to the Court of Appeal, which would have been very, very expensive and well beyond our means. So they agreed to bring in what was called a step differential, and it's like a progressive tax scale. So we didn't pay, in simple terms, we didn't pay 10 cents in the dollar on the full value of our section. We paid 5 cents on the first 100,000 or 10,000 or whatever. And so that lowered the rate bill for residents on Herald Island it was a meaningful amount, but the impact on the rest of the city was maybe a dollar a week or something. It was relatively minimal. So we gained some attention, and that was just part of a campaign to try and bring some relief to the ratepayers of Herald Island. So.
And how was that legal process? Because that takes time and patience. How did you, did you have a friendly local lawyer, or did you raise money to get someone to take the case on?
Yeah, well, we did raise a bit of money, but we had a friendly lawyer by the name of Matthew Muir, and he's now a High Court judge. And he lived in Oratia, I think, and he was sympathetic. And he agreed to take our case, and he was a very smart young man. Then he's much older now, but Yeah, and there was one or two people in particular in Te Rangi who basically devoted hours and hours of work and preparation, did a lot of the legal stuff to help this lawyer, and provided they put a lot of work in and submissions and one thing and another. I mean, all supported by the rest of the group, but and the irony is that one of the fellows in particular, he had a beautiful home in Te Rangi, but as he got older, it was too much. It sold and went, ended up living in West Harbour. So he actually left the area. He'd done a great job in organising this case together with the lawyer. And as I say, it did set a precedent in New Zealand law at the time, which got the local body's authority rather alarmed. But it was a good system, and it stayed in place right up until the amalgamation,
right.
You know, the formation of the super city,
yeah.
Who unfortunately dropped it. So we're back to square one.